Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, each week, well, twice a week, well, a lot of times a week, I interview people. That's my job. My job is to find the secret sauce of entrepreneurs' success. And I do it weekly. I do it daily. I do it in my sleep. I interview myself. I'm weird. I can't help it. I love winning. I do love winning. Our first guest today, his name is Trent Shelton, top self-worth coach, Rehab Time Organization, TrentShelton.com. You may know the name. He is a former NFL wide receiver that is now considered one of the most impactful speakers of his generation. He reaches over 50 million people weekly through his various social media outlets. He also travels the world to speak his message of creating lasting change in your life. And Trent and his wife, Maria, live in Fort Worth, Texas. A couple of kids, Tristan and Maya. And he always says, it's rehab time. Now, 50 million people. Holy mackerel. That's every week. I thought I had a big audience. My God, you have maybe 1.5 times bigger audience than me. I'm joking. You have about 10 times bigger audience. It's fantastic, Trent. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate it. Just give shout out to the supporters around the world that spread the message. I don't know 50 million people for sure.
Yeah, no, I know, right? You couldn't know them. Your brain wouldn't be able to. How could you remember 50 million names? Of course, there'd be a whole bunch of repeat names, you know, like you're Larry, you're Larry, you're Larry. There's like 500,000 Larrys, you know? Anyway, so Shelton here has also been a member of the Seattle Seahawks, Indianapolis Colts, and the Washington Redskins. But I think more importantly, during March 2009, Shelton started making two-minute videos to track his progress of bettering his life and would always end the videos with, it's rehab time. He was raised in Fort Worth, Texas. I happen to be a Texan, too. I'm from Houston. I love this, man. Maybe you could tell your story a little bit. First of all, why rehab time? What were you rehabbing? Give us your story.
Yeah, for sure. Well, rehab time came from rehabbing my life. So, you just said, with me playing sports. So anybody, you don't have to be a sports player, but anybody that's been injured knows that, you know, you go to rehab. And so it wasn't really drug and alcohol addiction for me, but it was about, you know, I took that same mindset with having a physical injury to the spiritual and emotional side. So rehab means for me, putting the strength back into a weakness. And, you know, when my career was very up and down, you know, I made it to the NFL, which is my dream. But once I got there, I felt like that was my, my breaking point. Just getting cut and released, the business side of things, and not being stable, moving from city to city, not knowing if I was going to be there next week or where I was going to be. And that was my identity my whole entire life since I was 6 years old. And I just wanted to play sports. And so I felt like there was nothing else to my life. And to fast forward a little bit, like you said, in March 2009, I just hit a breaking point, man. I was depressed, suicidal thoughts, and I realized that I could either sink or I can swim. And I had a son at that time. Tristan was about 1 year old. And so I decided to make sure that I leave the correct path for him as a father. And that prompted me to start rehab time. It wasn't to be a speaker. It wasn't to reach people. It wasn't to start an organization. It was literally for me to change my life. And I'm sharing my story, I guess other people related to it down the road.
You know, it's funny how when we start doing a self-rehab, because that's what you were doing. You decided, you know what, I'm going to take responsibility for my freaking self. And I understand you kind of have a Christian organization, too. I mean, you have a foundation in something of faith. Is that right?
Yeah, big time. Big time.
Because, I mean, what is the foundation of everything we're doing? If it's just greed, what profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul in the process, right? So I respect that as well, and a lot of people are afraid these days in this kind of crazy PC world. It's not PC to, talk about our Father in Heaven, which, you know, that's what makes me feel good, right? All right, you don't go anywhere. We're going to come back and talk about belief in self, power of patience, create supporters, not just fans. Fans are great, but you really want to build a community. Trent Shelton's going to help us with all this. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back. Oh, I feel nice.
a sugar and spice. I feel nice.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
So Trent Shelton, top self-worth coach, Rehab Time organization, TrentShelton.com. I heard him say something on the other side of the break there, Entrepreneur Weekly. He said, I had a son. Trent, you know, when a child is born for a man, a father is also born on that same day. And so I guess what I want to say to you is, you know, look, I think God bless you, because you could have made the wrong decisions and you made the right decisions to be able to go, I have a job and it's more than just me. So in that moment of time when you had suicidal thoughts, a lot of people, you know, think, what is this life all about? What is this all for? I made money. Money doesn't give me happiness. Things don't give me happiness. Purpose gives me happiness. But what was the tipping point for you? I mean, was it the realization of the job you had that was so important to being a father and a husband? Or what was it?
Yeah, that was definitely one of my tipping points, my son. You know, one thing that I always say now is our choices as parents will become our child's consequences. And I knew, you know, Tristan was going to follow in my footsteps. And honestly, at that moment in my life, it was a path that I didn't want him to follow. So I had to look myself in the mirror and say, you know what? I don't know where I'm going to go in my life. I don't have it figured out, but I know where I'm not going to stay. And I know what I can control. You know, I can control good integrity. I can control my standards. I can control my character. I can control what I give into this world every single day. So he was definitely my motivation. And the second tipping point for me was one of my best friends committed suicide. Mm-hmm. One of my college teammates, college roommates. And, you know, I went to his service, and that was the moment when I realized that life is not guaranteed. You know, I know that we all understand that, but when you see it face to face with someone you truly care about and one of your best friends, it made me understand that life isn't promised. And it also made me understand that so many people are going through these silent battles. And so my promise to Anthony was, you know, I'm going to make sure that people have a voice to listen to in the midst of their struggle. And I want to be an ear for people also, you know, not just talking to people, but hear people out. And I always say this, man, it's phenomenal that he is more alive in my life than ever. I mean, he was one of the catalysts for me to start Rehab Time and take it to another level. And, you know, we're able to reach millions across the world because of that situation.
Mm, that's awesome. Give me 2 minutes on belief in self.
It all starts with you. You know, that's one of the models that I told myself when I look at myself in the mirror and I tell myself every single day. I think so many times we look in the world to find someone to believe in us, someone to support us. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who believes in you or who doesn't believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. It doesn't matter who supports you or who doesn't support you if you don't support yourself. So at the end of the day, it starts with you. You can use excuses. You can complain. You can blame. And I was in that position. You know, I blamed everybody for the reason I got cut. But as long as I was blaming people, I was giving the situations and people the power to control my life. And once I realized that taking responsibility is the ultimate power, it changed my life forever.
So one door closed and a much more valuable one opened. There is a moment of time there, though, where you are literally in the if you know the there's a word, doldrums, which sailors, they hit a place in the ocean where there's no wind. It's called a doldrum, and they just don't move. While you're in the doldrum or you're in a place of not moving, you start to rot, and you have to be careful not to let your soul rot. So you have to pick yourself up, believe in yourself, and start moving again. All right, the power of patience, that's the next subject.
This is a big thing, especially in the society we live in now. I mean, a lot of people don't know that I've been doing this since 2009. You know, a lot of people think that, of course, I'm an overnight success or I just started. But literally, I've been on this journey progressing towards the best me. And I'm going to continue on this journey until I tap out of this life. But I've been on this journey with Rehab Time for over 10 years. And the thing that I see now with a lot of entrepreneurs and a lot of people is that they want the immediate fix. You know, they start the company this week and then next month it has to be booming. And I tell people all the time, you got to have patience. I think patience is a talent these days. I think it's one of the greatest talents to be able to sit there and know and think and say, you know, I know even though I can't see better right now, I can feel it. Even though I can't see growth, I can feel it. It kind of reminds me of me going to Little Rock with my grandfather when I was little. He had this garden, and I would always mess with my grandfather. Like, hey, I was like probably 5 or 6 years old. We would plant crops, and then literally 24 hours later, I would say, Grandpa, you know, where are the crops at? And he was like, you got to be patient. It takes time. Then the next day and the next day, I would keep coming back. And it taught me a lesson. Of course, it took months for those crops to grow. My grandpa always told me this. He said, you have to know something is taking place. Growth is taking place, even though you can't see it. And that's pretty much my definition of faith. And to everybody out there, you got to know if you're putting in the work, things are happening, even though you can't see them. And one day you hit the tipping point, bang, that crop comes out the ground. Now you're living your dream.
There you go. Now, by the way, patience is a talent. And I'll go one step deeper. Patience is a virtue. We're talking to Trent Shelton.
Right.
It is Entrepreneur Weekly. More to come. Great advice. This guy reaches over 50 million people every week. Holy crap.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hey, don't forget, check out our website, entrepreneur.com. Pick up our magazine on newsstands or, what the heck, subscribe. If you're an entrepreneur, you find out very quickly that being an entrepreneur is really rehab time. It's like, you know what? We got these jobs we hate. We're sitting in cubicles. We're doing things we don't love. Pull that parachute, rehab yourself, become an entrepreneur, do what you love, like Trent Shelton, top self-worth coach, rehab time organization, TrentShelton.com. Look him up on the web. Former NFL wide receiver. Now, I don't know what he's doing. He's making noise in the background. What are you doing right now, by the way, Trent? Where are you?
I'm in Fort Worth, Texas right now in my office.
Your office. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing. Can you believe how many people you reach out there with this message? And to you, it's just living the life that you have put the energy into, that you have decided these are the values and the virtues that I want to have in my life to be the man that I need to be for my wife, my children, my friends, my family, and 50 million weekly people. And now, I'm not going to say it's easy because, listen, we are all challenged every single day of our life. But now you are living this life, and it's like heaven, yes, we should live this life, right? Because it's like I said before, what profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul in the process? So many people are reaching for the golden ring or the golden calf, and they get it and they realize, damn, I'm not happy. So they keep going and going and going. They look back and they've been walking across the dead bodies of the people they had to crush out to get there. You know what? It's just not worth it. Let's talk about this 50 million reach that you have. Let's talk about creating supporters, not just fans, and building a community. How did you do this?
That's a great question. For me, it was never about myself. Of course, you know, my change, it was about myself, but it was bigger than myself. And for me, it was reaching as many people as I could, even if that was 10, even if that was 10 million. And I think, you know, a lot of people now see that, you know, I just didn't do it for recognition. I don't care about the platform. I don't care about the accolades, anything about that. I care about really impacting lives. I always say impact over numbers. I remember when I had 100 people watching the video, and I was just as excited then as I am now. And I think it's about, you know, creating a community of people, not just fans, because we have people that, you know, just loves who you are as a person, or just infatuated with how you look or whatever it may be. It's kind of like sports. I mean, I had tons of football fans, but a lot of those people, once I left that team, they were no longer fans.
Right.
And so building a community is totally important, because these aren't infatuated with you. They take your message and literally spread it across the world. Like I said, I don't know people in South Africa. I don't know people in New Zealand and Fiji, but obviously somebody who followed me did. And people believe in the message just as much as I do. And I think that's incredible. I love it. I love it.
All right. Get good at saying no to the things that don't get you your yes. Explain that one.
well, it's easy to say no to the things that you don't like. You know, if I offered you some food that you don't like, it's easy to say no to. But if you're on a diet, physical fitness, whatever it may be, and you have to say, you know, no to certain things you do like, that doesn't help you get to the place where you want to be. And it's the same with life. I had to say no to going out. I had to say no to certain friends. I had to say no to opportunities I love, because I understood that those things and those people at that time in my life didn't take me to a place where I wanted to be. And so what I see a lot these days with entrepreneurs, or just with people who want to live their dreams, it's a lot of talk. It's a lot of posting. But my question is, what are you doing every single day? What are you saying no to? You can't expect to take your life to the next level by doing the things that kept you at the same level. You can't expect a different lifestyle by living the same habits of your old lifestyle. So you got to learn to let go. And letting go, to me, is not just necessary, it's also a strength in your life.
Yeah. It's so funny. Last night I was stuck in San Francisco, literally. And I was starving. I was like, because I'm on this diet, I'm losing weight, I'm doing really good, I'm proud of myself. I was sick of being fat like you. I decided, that's it, I'm enough of this. And I wasn't like, I wasn't 5 foot fat, I was like 4 foot fat. But the point is that I was done, so I've been being very good. And there's like all these things were calling out to me, you know, sushi over here, come here. And then over here was like, you know, a burrito bowl over here. And I'm walking around going, no, 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 no. And you know what I did? I had a cup of coffee and I had a bottle of water, and I said, I'll wait till I get home and eat something good. And I thought to myself, man, temptation is everywhere. It's calling at you. It's screaming your name. You really do have to learn how to have the character to say no. That's what you're talking about. You really have to build your character, which is the muscles of your spirit, really, because that's ultimately what you're building, is the muscles of your own spirit and your own tenacity to say no. I love that. All right. I want to have one more segment with you on the other side, because I want you to give some best tips for entrepreneurs. But I'm curious. I'm really curious. Top self-worth coach. What is your business besides all this stuff that you're doing?
Books is a big part of my business. And, you know, I'm actually releasing my new book coming out in May 2019, The Greatest You. Also courses, also monthly coaching groups, merchandise, physical training, one-on-one coaching. I mean, everything that involves helping somebody, I'm in that lane.
Yep, beautiful. It's rehab time. That's what we're talking about. TrentShelton.com. You can find out more about him. I'll tell you what, if you've ever played sports, you know the value of having that coach. And all of us take through our lives the little lessons that our coaches taught us, whether it was tennis, water polo, football, baseball, basketball, whatever it was, that coach was there to give you some of the cornerstones of your life. We'll be right back with more Trent Shelton with entrepreneur advice here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Today's special guest is Trent Shelton, former football wide receiver, currently founder of and the president of the Christian-based nonprofit organization Rehab Time. He was also a member of the Seattle Seahawks, Indiana Colts, Washington Redskins, and the guy is an animal, and he's been giving us some fantastic advice. Trent, I met you in person at an event in Phoenix there. And I was impressed with you because you are what I call a regular guy, a regular man, just a guy that I could run with and have a fun time with. And you didn't seem like a big, prideful, arrogant jerk. And some people that have 50 million audience, they get all high on themselves. Yeah. When you have an audience that big, how do you keep that ego under control? Because I did not see you an egomaniac. Can I say that? I saw you as a regular guy. How do you keep your ego under control?
For one, with me, with my faith, man, I always believe God is the reason. You know, I always pinch myself because I think what I do, you know, I don't think I'm super, super talented. You know, I just think it's a gift. And so that's one reason I believe that it's God working through me. The second thing is, man, I think it was a blessing me making it to the NFL because I didn't have an ego like that, but it was more about myself. And I was humble real quick once I left the NFL. So I told myself I will never get high on myself on that level. And at the end of the day, we're all human beings. You know, I don't care about power. I don't care about recognition because we're all the same. And the same person you ignore might be the same person you need later on in life.
Yep. Beautiful. It's rehab time. Time for now. Trent Shelton advice to the Entrepreneur Network here for folks. Go ahead. Just give me like three great pieces of advice and we'll spread it to the world. I mean, you have such a gigantic audience. I don't know. I want to like, can you spread my word to the world? You should be interviewing me. It's awesome, man. It's awesome. Go ahead.
Five quick things that I would share with entrepreneurs out there. I'm pretty sure you heard a lot of these before, but I just want to reiterate it. Number one, be clear on what you don't want. I know a lot of people tell you to be clear on your vision and where you want to go, but sometimes you don't know where you want to go. So you're like me, I just knew where I didn't want to stay anymore. And the how I always feel like is revealed in the journey. So get clear on what you don't want around your life. Get clear on the people you don't want, right? The habits you don't want in your life. So get very clear on those things and find a way to remove those things from your life.
Okay.
The second thing I would tell you guys is to live intentional. Every single day, wake up and live with intent, whatever it may be. You know, if it's your dreams, your vision is being a better father, all the titles in your life, be very intentional about who you want to be and where you want to go with your life. You know, some people just wake up and accept what life gives them. They just live in the matrix.
Right.
But when you're really making change and impact, you don't say, you know, I'm going to accept what life gives me. You tell life, you're going to accept what I'm about to give you. So that's the way I wake up every single day. Number three is get around people who are better. And I know a lot of people, it involves letting down your pride, whether it's a mastermind. I'm always trying to be the least accomplished in the room because I know if I'm in that room and I'm the least accomplished, I have to come out better. If you're the best in your circle, I wouldn't tell you to find a new circle, but maybe you need to recruit or go to a different circle at times that will help grow yourself. Number four, I would say to show up regardless. You know, no matter how you feel, you know, feelings are real, but feelings aren't always right. So you might feel like I'm not enough. You might feel like I'm not making an impact. You might feel like nobody's showing up for me. You got to show up regardless. There's days where I don't feel like motivating. There's days where I don't feel like, you know, being Mr. Rehab time. But I put those emotions to the side and I stay in my truth. I understand where I want to go and I make sure I show up regardless. And not just show up, I show up as the best me. And understand your best isn't always going to be your best, if that makes sense. But showing up is always critical in moving forward with consistency. And last but not least, I would tell you to be your brand. We live in a social media world where it's very easy to talk it. It's very easy to post it. You know, one thing that I ask myself every single week, I say, if I didn't say one word this week and people were around me for that whole week, would my life reflect my beliefs, right? So people should be able to see in you what you're talking about, what you're preaching about. Because if you're just preaching and not practicing, I promise you, you will get exposed. If you're faking it till you're making it, that might get you far, but it won't keep you far. So be your brand, take your time, and live it, breathe it, be it, like I always say.
Yep. All great advice. And you are definitely too legit to quit. I figured it was a perfect song, right? I happen to like him.
Yeah, for sure.
TrentShelton.com. Oh, my God. 50 million people are following this guy. Thank God in heaven, because I know you're doing a great job. Trent, thank you, man. Really appreciate it. You're a good man.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate you, man.
We'll see you soon at one of these great events. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. There's more right after this. Because you don't want none. I hustle for my muscle, and you look weak, son. Yeah, I'm going for all that I can get. Kicking it at the top because I'm too legit.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
A lot of you know that I'm a car guy. I have worked with Car and Driver and Motor Trend for years and years and decades. And every now and then I run into somebody in my car hobby that happens to also be an entrepreneur. Irvin Schorsch happens to be one of those guys. He is founder and president of Pennsylvania Capital Management. He has a brand new book out, Reinvent Rich: How to Make More Money, More Moments, and More Meaning in Life. And Irvin, I have to say, first of all, congratulations. I talked to him in the commercial break, and he's like, gosh, you know, we're already international bestseller, 14 international bestseller, tons of different categories. Also, U.S., Canada, and Australia. We're talking about the Kindle version that comes out. But the book just came out, if you're listening on the podcast, early December. So you want to check out this book, Reinvent Rich. Irvin, maybe you could talk about, first of all, tell the world, who is Irvin Schorsch? Let's go there.
Irvin Schorsch is the president of Pennsylvania Capital Management, a wealth advisory firm in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. This, for me, was a very exciting next step or stage two in my life. I wrote this book for two reasons. One, it's clear to me that many Americans are still in financial purgatory. They cannot climb their way out of debt. They feel stuck. And they have not been able to build the fortune they want and that they've been dreaming about for years.
Right.
Secondly, I believe the path to get there isn't just about the numbers, but about bridging the gap between the practical and the emotional by finding out what our flaws are when we discuss our finances and then thinking about wealth more holistically, how stress, your health, and family values work together in your financial decision making,
right.
We can bring clarity and we can bring solutions to families across the world.
Hmm. I notice here, I'm looking at some of the stuff about the company that you started, and you and I, we talked for probably an hour or so about family, about kids, about life, and you just talk about stress and being an entrepreneur. And so many folks that are listening are entrepreneurs, live that stress, fight with their husbands and wives about money. Listen, my wife's a CFO. My kids are little entrepreneurs, I might say. And as they get older and older, they become big entrepreneurs. But, you know, man, there's a lot going on. Life is very complex. We need, as I was just saying to our friend Trent Shelton, we need good coaches. I mean, he was a football player, so he understands the value of a good coach. And some of these books like yours, Reinvent Rich, these are the kind of coaches we need. Maybe you could talk about Reinvent Rich. What does that mean? What is the genesis of this book?
The genesis of this book, very simply, Alan, is that over the last 30 years, I've developed a lot of tips and techniques that people never think about. And we serve about 130 successful families throughout America. Mm. But I thought, how about educating the rest of the world on little things? I mean, if you think about a good friend of mine, Chad, has 11 children.
Whew.
How do you handle taking care of 11 children at the same time you're trying to better utilize your own unique abilities in your business?
Right.
And some of the things that we batted back and forth among many different client family situations is, if you can imagine thinking about your family as a corporation, and imagine instead of going out and enriching strangers, hire your kids to do what they do well. And what you can't find on the outside and you're a bit overwhelmed transportation-wise with, you can have piano tutors come to the house and teach multiple kids or hire kids to do lawn maintenance or fix certain things on the property that need addressing. You're both creating a better family culture and at the same time inspiring your kids in a stronger family dynamic. Those kind of tips.
Sure, sure. No, listen. First of all, you just described a lot of what I've done with my kids, and now I'm dealing also with elder care. Both my parents are 90 and 87. I have to have 24-hour round-the-clock care, and we're filling in some of that care because I know they would rather be around their family than strangers. So we're trying to make sure that, you know, not only do I have to be a husband, a father, I now have to be a son, and I have to be the caregiver to my parents. So life continues. If people think, you know, once you make money, life is going to get easier, they're wrong. Life is even more complicated. So you better have some good coaching going on. And I think that, you know, a book like yours is going to be very helpful. Maybe you could give us a couple of your favorite chapters. I know you have one for kids because you and I talked about that.
Alan, knowing your kids and their entrepreneurial spirit that you and your wife have fostered in the home, is essential. I wrote a chapter for families like yours. There are key concepts such as when your children begin to get W-2s or 1099s from the work they do, even part-time. In the book, I lay out a strategy where parents can match part of the kids' earnings by encouraging the kids to say, look, let's develop a savings ethic right now. You commit to saving your paycheck from as my daughter did, being a camp counselor at the local school that she goes to. You commit those dollars to your 59 and a half, and through the bank of dad and mom, we'll match that money in your car savings account.
Right. I did that.
And the child and the children light up and say, wow, that's a great idea.
That's awesome. Why
wouldn't every kid do that?
Right, right.
And we set up a Roth IRA, so the money goes in tax-free because they're in a 0% tax bracket. Mm-hmm. And then it accumulates tax-free for the rest of their lives into their own children's lives. And at the same time, you're facilitating their ability to save for their first car that they've been dreaming of. I mean, that's the kind of strategy that is inherent in many of the chapters in the book.
I love it.
That's chapter 14 called Child's Pay.
Excellent. All right. I got about 2 minutes till I have a commercial break. I know you and I share this passion about cars. Is there anything about cars in the book?
There sure is. We have a whole chapter designated to thinking outside the stocks, chapter 12. Alternative strategies to make you money if you're willing to take a chance. And in that chapter, I highlight a 1968 Z28 Camaro, which is it's a very strong collector's item in the car world, as you know.
Yeah.
And we talk about those kinds of alternatives and encouraging each family to think assertively, not just stock market, bond market, money market, but what else can they collect? Vintage cars, vintage paperweights, vintage clocks, anything that has value that you love that is intrinsically limited in terms of the numbers that were made, pose great opportunities for you to consider as you think outside the stocks.
Beautiful.
I would also encourage you to take a look for baby boomers like yourself to chapter 18 entitled Don't Stop. Who says you can't redefine what retirement means? And it talks about second careers. Or as one of our good clients just told me yesterday, he had been a head of HR for major pharma companies over his career and said, you know what? It's time. I need more time with my wife and my son. Let's bring the clients to us. And he's got them in California and Boston and all over. So he's now reinvented his whole approach to working so that he's got 3-4 days a week off, but still earns a six-figure income.
Fantastic. The book is called Reinvent Rich. You can find it at reinventrich.com. When we come back, founder and president of Pennsylvania Capital Management, Irvin Schorsch, he's going to give some advice, tips for entrepreneurs. First bit would be, I'm sure, buy my book. It's just on newsstands right now or at reinventrich.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Founder and president of Pennsylvania Capital Management, author of the brand new book, Reinvent Rich. How to make more money, more moments, and more meaning in life. Already an international bestseller on Kindle, just out on newsstands and through Amazon. Again, you can also find it online at reinventrich.com. Irvin Schorsch on the line with us. Irvin, I would love for you to... you know, maybe if you could take that whole book and wrap it into one big principle, what were you thinking? So that would be almost really the genesis of the origination of the purpose for the book would be to do what for people?
To dispel the myth that being rich is all about money.
Yeah.
Sure, money is important and money gives you options and creates opportunities.
Yep.
But the most valuable asset each of us has is time. And if you're successful, particularly if you can be successful earlier in life, which gives you more time later to enjoy it, then you will become very, very rich in your experiences and in your ability to live your passions and time to spend with your family and your closest friends, which is what you're going to remember.
Yeah.
You can't take it with you. Whatever you buy is just stuff.
Yep.
But if you can be successful and you can use the over 200 tips and techniques that I've designed into this book, you'll figure out ways to create the wealth financially to lead your journey into a very, very fulfilling, enjoyable one long term.
You know, it's so funny how the perception of wealth and happiness go hand in hand. But I think that, you know, I mean, you guys, Pennsylvania Capital Management, you deal with wealthy people. And I'll bet the biggest part of your job is helping them to manage life with money. Because otherwise they can spiral out of control and lose their money and lose their happiness both. Because then, you know, then they've lost their money and their happiness. Happiness does not come from money. Now, it makes life a little more enjoyable if you're dealing with it, right? But a lot of people, they work their life away, forget to slow down, smell the roses. Like you said, wealth is about creating time and time to live your passions, time to connect with your friends and family and close ones, and time to do what you want in life. You have to have principles that you are using, systems and processes that you are using. And I think your book, Reinvent Rich, will deliver that for a lot of people. That's awesome. That's beautiful.
Alan, I agree. Look, you and I are both baby boomers, and we're sandwiched between taking care of our parents, which I've done the last several years until they recently passed. And you're fortunate enough and blessed to still have yours with you so you can continue to create shared experiences. But as you take a look over what matters now, if up until now has been stage one of your life, as you look forward to stage two, the core of that's got to be to enjoy the experiences that are ahead of you with the people you love, inspire your kids, and really have fun. And as a baby boomer, this is something that is foremost in our minds. And in the book helps you to think much more clearly about how do you develop the time for the shared experiences early on. How do you teach your kids so that they too can create their wealth starting at age 7?
That's awesome. You know, it's funny. I maybe started a little later than that with my kids, around probably 10 years old, because they started wanting certain things. And I would say, no, if you want that, you better work and earn some money. And they were like, well, what can I do? I don't know how to do anything. And I'd say, well, you know what? You've seen me, you know, cut the yard. You could ride the lawnmower now, or you could, you know, rake the leaves. It's fall. Or, you know, there's always take the trash out. I'll pay you $1 to take the trash. Whatever it is, they start to realize, oh, I can earn money, buy what I want. I remember that aha moment for my kids and watching them. And I did what you said, which was to say, I will match dollar for dollar how much you save. So when you turn 15 or 16 years old and you're thinking about buying a car, if you've got $1,000, you can spend $2,000 because I'll match it. If you've got $2,000, you can buy a $4,000 car because I'll match it. And then, you know, some of my kids did pretty good. My youngest, I got to tell you, he had $5,000. I looked at him and I go, you know what? That ain't fair. I'm not rich. I can't give you five. I'm going to give you the most I gave any of my other kids. And he complains, and Dad, that's not right. Oh, my gosh. It was so funny. And then afterwards, you know, this kid bought and sold 50 cars now in the last 2 years. 50 cars. It's amazing. He's already got his whole life set up. Irvin Shorsch, you're the best. Thank you very much. The book is called Reinvent Rich. You can find it at reinventrich.com. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you guys next week right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.